Bald and Blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution Podcast. The podcast to get tools for a powerful mind you can use immediately every day. Get tips, tricks, skills, and inspiration to create what you desire and achieve a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Cathy Tate and Daisy Pub.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. I'm Cathy Tate, your host from Australia. With me, as always, Daisy Papp, your host from America. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, down under, dear Cathy. I'm so glad to see you. Good to hear you. What's up your sleeves? And let's do it. Let's record another episode. I think we are getting so much good, great feedback. And thank you, dear listeners, for all your support, for sharing our episodes and for promoting our podcast more and more. And really, word of mouth is just priceless. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. It is great to see all the countries joining us from around the globe. And we're excited to see who will be next. Today's episode is a juicy one, I think. We're going to record a conversation about I am right.
I told you.
Meaning a lot of us have a hard time letting go of the need to be right. And I think that if we can do that, communication would be vastly different between us and we'd have a more empathetic, understanding society. Now, I know that I've personally struggled with this, and perhaps it comes from being an alpha female, having been extremely independent my whole life, including as you were, a single mother, where we make all the decisions and we have all the responsibility on us. And so you have to have this self-belief that you are doing the right thing in order to confidently do that. And so I feel like believing you are right has its place, but it can also be detrimental if it is overused. What do you think?
I think it's very dangerous, the need to be right. It is impacting our relationships, all our relationships, because I'd like to circle back to a recent episode, Opinion versus Fact. When we communicate that this is my opinion and I have the right to my opinion, undoubtedly, it's a very different connotation than when I say I'm right and you're wrong. Because the moment when I say I'm right, I also say indirectly or silently that you're wrong. When we can get to a point in communication where we can see clearly that I can have my opinion and I can be right, but is it really important to be right? The need to be right is childish. And it is very important in our development as humans, so I think. Nevertheless, the majority of adults have not outgrown that. And yes, I agree with you. It's time to let it go.
Where do you think it comes from, Daisy, this innate need to be right?
I think it comes from our development stages, where when we grow up, I start noticing where am I and where is the end of me and where are you and where's the beginning of you. I could be wrong. I've been wrong a lot of times in my life, but that is how I see it today, that it is part of our development and I think it is healthy. It is just unhealthy when we remain in that stage. Let me be very visual here. I think it is healthy for children, for babies, to wear diapers. That doesn't mean that for the rest of my life, I'm wearing diapers. I would feel awkward if I had worn diapers as a 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old, 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 35-year-old, and so forth. So it has its place and it has its time. But nevertheless, I think it is very healthy when we start focusing rather on this is my opinion, and that I have the right to have my opinion and you have the right to your opinion. And no longer does it matter who is right. In one of my books, I have a very nice graphic and I'm going to explain it picturesquely that it may be possible to envision. So let's say two people sit across one another at a table. They sit across and there's a piece of paper in the center of the table And human A draws the number 6 on that piece of paper. And the other human across the table sees what?
9.
They see the number 9. Aha. And now is the question, who is right? That may help us that this is how I see it from my point of view, from my standpoint, from my developmental stage in life, from my experience. Now, let's have a look at language. What can we replace the I am right sentence with? For example, I can say, this is how I see it today. Why would I add the today to it? Because maybe tomorrow I see it differently, and maybe yesterday I saw it differently.
Or maybe even after the conversation you're about to have with that other person, you'll see it differently.
Yes. So we can also replace I am right with this is how I see it now. So we want to open up the possibilities instead of limiting ourselves, because when we look at expansion and contraction, when I'm expanding, I open the door to possibilities. I open the door to many more possibilities instead of when I'm in contraction, meaning I'm right, period. There's no room left. And I think it is essential in our togetherness that we acknowledge that no matter if I'm right or wrong, when I start focusing on my point of view and start describing that, then all these conversations and arguments become obsolete or invalid and unnecessary, because let's focus on how I see it and let's focus on how can I express myself, how can I articulate more and more precisely that this is how I see it, this is how I feel, this is how I sense it, this is what I'm thinking, this is my experience, instead of I'm right. So you see, it's opening doors, it's opening almost new universes, new galaxies. On the other hand, when I'm focusing on I'm right and I'm telling you you're wrong, although I'm not telling you, I'm not verbalizing that, but when I say I'm right, how does it make you feel? I knew it. I was right about that. How does it make you feel?
I think it would make me feel dismissed, like my opinion or point of view didn't matter.
Aha. And that is many times the root cause for many arguments, because one feels dismissed, feels doesn't matter, feels that their opinion or their viewpoint, their feelings, their emotions, their thoughts, their ideas don't matter. But that is how we get entangled in arguments. Oftentimes they appear to be endless, but there's no need for that. People, start saying what you mean and mean what you say instead of holding on to be right. Instead of holding on to the need to be right, because you will go much farther when you're able to describe. Let's say, Kathy, I hold this up. Dear listeners, I'm holding up a very random pen. And I tell you, you see how beautiful this is? And let's say, I'm just making this up, you say, no, this is ugly, and I'm right. You see what happens here? It's almost like a stop sign. So the flow stops. I say, this is beautiful, I'm right. And I think you have an ugly opinion to think this pen is ugly. Now it's getting personal. Now your Chinese wall goes up even more. Your defense mechanisms are on high alert. And in we are. And if there are two people who are not highly aware of their communication skills and what they get into, that is where most arguments almost run into a dead end.
This kind of reminds me of something I learned years ago in a communications class called active listening.
Good idea.
Where the exercise was to repeat back to the person you're conversing with, this is what I heard you say, and check in to see if you're on the right track. And I think this is similar in that we need to keep our minds and our ears open to what it is the other person is saying and not just what we want to hear.
I agree. Nevertheless, the moment you accuse me indirectly because you say I'm right, you indirectly tell me I'm wrong, my defense mechanisms may go up when I'm not aware of what's going on here.
Yeah.
The paraphrasing, how I call it, so I'm repeating, this is what I heard you say, is a great tool. Nevertheless, I think it still needs another ingredient, within me that I point out, oh, this is how you see it. Tell me more. And then I ask you, I wonder, are you interested in how I see it? Now, let's say human A and human B are in an argument and it's heated, happens every day around the world. Let's say human A has their point of view and has their opinion, maybe even did some research on facts. Human B also has their opinion. And now they tell one another, okay, you're wrong. Defense mechanism go up. The moment the defense mechanisms go up, the curiosity of compassion and empathy gets lower and lower and lower and lower. The interest is not there anymore. So when we are capable of keeping it up, let's argue about something, Kathy. Let's try and do it. Let's do it live. We actually don't argue. I don't even recall that we ever argued.
Yes. What should we argue about?
Pick something and I play along.
The world is flat.
You're stupid.
Well, that's a bit mean, Daisy. I'm not stupid.
Well, you think I'm mean? You have not seen yourself yet. You're the meanest human I've ever met.
Well, I don't care what you think. Your opinion's stupid.
Well, that sucks.
We're not very good at arguing, are
we? No, I don't think so. Okay, but you get the tone of it and you get a little bit of the verbiage because for me, this is very unfamiliar. I don't like arguments because they're not leading me to the desired outcomes that I like seeing in my life. And I don't see the need to argue. When you are addicted to argue with me, then this is your addiction and I circle back to the shoebox. I'm not going to touch it.
Yeah.
Why? Because I don't want it to stick on me. I don't want anything to do with it. Deal with it and then come back to me. So when we get into these interpersonal arguments and then we call names, this is really just a waste of time, a waste of energy. It's just puffing and huffing and fluffing. I don't understand it.
Yeah. And then often one of the parties will bring up something from the past and throw that in there.
Yes.
And then the whole thing degenerates into he said, she said, coulda, woulda, happened 10 years ago, but we're still stuck in it. And then the argument, it loses even sight of what the point even began. And it just turns into, excuse my French, a shit show.
Oh my goodness.
Beep, people beep. Like slinging insults at each other. And then you've just got two hurt people hurting each other even more.
Yeah.
And what was the point of the whole exchange? Communication, in my view, should be about imparting knowledge, receiving knowledge, seeking to understand each other better, seeking to understand the world around us, trying to share our feelings or our experiences or our lessons or our challenges so that we're not alone. And often communication is sort of lost and just becomes a fight for who is right instead of what the purest form would be, which is to know each other, ourselves, and the world around us better.
I go back to communication basics. Speak first person singular in grammar, meaning this is what I feel, this is what I think, this is how it looks to me, this is what I heard you say, and so forth. Instead of saying, yeah, but you said that. Can I really be so sure? How often, let's be honest, how often is it that we heard something, we were sure we heard it, but it wasn't even said? And even if it was said, we gave it a very different meaning than as it was said. So I think it is very important that we allow ourselves to be mistaken, to allow ourselves to fail. It's not about life or death. So when I speak, let me circle back to the argument, the first argument we just had live. I mean, live during this recording. Well, Kathy, but you argued with me and you were mean and you said stupid things to me. Now, you see, when I say it this way, I say it as if it was factual. Now, when I change and shift and say, Kathy, it doesn't feel good to me to think about us arguing. It almost felt to me like a punch in the stomach. And I'm not comfortable like that. So now I didn't ask you anything. I didn't blame you with anything. I describe solely what's happening within me. Now, when we go back to basics, where is my territory of responsibility within me, not within you? So when I start speaking about what's going on within me, let's say you had answered, oh, this is not what I said, then I can come back to you and say, well, this is what I heard you say. This is what I remember. Oftentimes arguments go, no, this is not true and you lie and this is not true. No, you lie. No, you're making up stories. That's already very bad direction by my observation. I would rather say, this is not what I remember, or this is not in my reality. In my reality, this and this happened. This is how I see it, and this is how I observed it, and this is how I experienced it. This is non-arguable. When we get out of the arguables into the non-arguables, try to argue that to me, it feels like a punch in the stomach. I'm counting stopwatch on.
Oh, right. Well, that's ridiculous. How can words punch you in the stomach?
Well, this is how it feels to me.
Well, that's a stupid way to feel.
I'm sharing with you how I feel. You see what happens here?
Well, why do you overreact every single time, Daisy? Why is that? That seems stupid to me.
I respect that this is how you experience it. To me, overreaction appears in different ways. And I'm asking you kindly, can you please define to me overreaction? You're at the dead end. Why? Because it's non-arguable.
Yeah. Yeah. You are extremely hard to argue with, Daisy.
I heard that a few times. And I heard that in very dear friendship of mine, that the other human was so upset and said, well, when I argue with you, you become slower and calmer and kinder. This is no fun.
I used to have a person in my life too who thought arguing and drama was fun and that without it, life was boring. It was super frustrating.
You see, what I would like to really deliver to the heart of our listeners, it's never too late. It's always a good time to educate yourself and acquire communication skill basics that are so simple and make so much sense, and start focusing on the non-arguables. Now, if somebody is addicted to the need to be right, well, I would leave them in their need to be right until they figure that out, and only then go back discussing with them whatever the topic is. Because otherwise, the danger is too big that you might get lured in.
Yeah. And with personalities like that, you do get sucked in. Like, I've experienced that.
And try me. Not easy.
Well, I don't think it'll work with you. Look, so let's summarize. I've taken a few notes this episode because I find this a very important conversation.
Yes.
So I'm going to do a bit of a summary. So the need to be right can be dangerous, and you feel is also childish. It comes from developmental stages when we were young, and a lot of people haven't grown past it or let it go. Mm. Now, that may or may not be because they've never been shown another way.
That's the point. Because when parents started caring for their children's feelings and emotions, instead of, no, this is not a big deal. When for the child, it is a big deal. There's an argument that's unfair already. When parents start to care for their children's emotions and feelings, how they experience it from their point of view, and say, I'm sorry that this is how you feel. Not in a sarcastic way. Tone is very important. But look, we can't get that lolly today. Now, I understand this is upsetting for you, but I care for your stomach. I care for your tummy. We can't have it today, but I will look what we can have another time. Now, we take the emotions and the feelings of the other seriously. We take it to heart. We acknowledge it. Now, I link back to what I heard you say earlier in this conversation, that if I'd say I'm right and you're wrong, indirectly or directly, because there are people they throw it, oh, no, you are wrong and you're lying and you make it up and so forth. You mentioned that you feel dismissed, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
That comes from that experience in children where they couldn't have had their feelings and emotions taken seriously, but were attempted to get dismissed. And that piles up in the child. And many who don't deal with that get stuck in there and still are as adults.
And you know what? I actually believe in my culture anyway, there's a whole generation of people like that because
yes.
Children were expected to be seen and not heard, let alone have a feeling or emotion to be understood. Like that just wasn't how it was done. And I'm a child of that generation. And I know that my generation have tried to do something different with our children, which is the next generation, and perhaps even gone too far the other way. However, you can see the evolvement that we're trying to make it better. Like we're trying to bring up the next generation with more empathy and understanding. And I think the key sits here, or for me, as I see it, is the ability to see things from another person's point of view. And I think that is a really great skill to have. Because if you can allow yourself to see something from someone else's point of view, then you have more understanding, you have more empathy, you have more patience. You know, there's less need to be right and more just to acknowledge that they see it differently to you. Then let's face it, we're billions of human beings on a planet. There is no way ever we're all going to see things the same way. It's just not ever going to be that way.
It's not necessary.
And right, it isn't necessary. We're supposed to be diverse. We're supposed to be unique. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be individuals.
Supposed or not supposed?
We are individuals. And so this is an essential skill. Because of that fact, right?
Yes. Now, I'd add to that, though, that it must be in balance with the boundaries. Because I start having empathy with you doesn't mean now I let everything go through and slip through and allow you everything. No, 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 no. I'd like to circle back to my mom. She was a very wise lady. And she had a very nice picture when it came to children. I may have mentioned it already in another episode, one of the 150 whatsoever number. She said, parents are like the riverbed and children are the river. Meaning that the children within that riverbed are allowed from the left border to the right border. Sometimes they can grow faster, sometimes they can go faster, but within these two boundaries. That is very important. But now, how can we know what is a healthy boundary when we didn't grow up with healthy boundaries? So our generation and maybe even the following generation has some challenges here that can be solved with self-education, with self-development, with really reaching out to philosophical pictures where we can learn, okay, how healthy boundaries are. And I'm not speaking about morals, and I'd like to be there very clear that I respect all religions. Nevertheless, to have a moral compass, religion is not necessary. So also those who do not practice religion actively can have morals. And when we go by a healthy set of morals, by a healthy set of standards, by a healthy set of values, and have that in alignment with the boundaries we're setting, and are then empathetic. Now, this is paradisiac.
Yeah, that makes complete sense to me. I think that's a very important piece of it too, the boundaries. And guys, if you haven't yet listened to it, we've done an episode on boundaries.
Did we?
Go to baldandblonde.live and search it in the search box. We certainly did.
Really?
It was a very long time ago, I have to say.
Okay, we did, if you say so.
I'm going to tell you what number it is.
You see, it could be a perfect moment to argue.
Number
no,
seven.
We didn't. I could say,
episode
no, we didn't.
Seven.
No, we didn't. So I know that we didn't. You see now, how often is it when we just admit that it's not necessary to be right? First of all, we will be much happier. Secondly, we will be much more likable. Thirdly, we will be much more peaceful. Fourthly, we will be much more peace-bringing. And the list goes on and on. Just have a look at it. Heal your inner world when it comes to your need to be right. Where does it stem from? Really go back, find it. If you don't find it, you can still deal with it. You can still outgrow that. I've seen it thousands of times with clients one-on-one, and it is possible and so worthwhile. There is no need to be right. When we want balance, harmony, and peace, which most humans I know of want, then the need to be right is poison to it. And you cannot be part of the problem and part of the solution at the same time. So it is up to every single one.
Well said, I think. Well said. And to reiterate something you said near the beginning / middle of the episode, focus on your opinion, but not the need to be right.
Yes, because when I am already focused on my feelings, me, not in an egocentric way, describe it. This is how I see it. This is how I hear it. This is what it makes me feel. This is what makes me think. This is what it makes me afraid of. This is what it makes me panic from, and so forth. Let's say you said something really hurtful to me. Let's say you would. And let's say you catch me in a sensitive moment where I'm not so aware or I'm not so self-disciplined or however, I'm just a little bit off. It can happen to all of us. Let's say I snap back. But the moment I catch me, you cannot go further. So to argue that, oh yes, but my friend should change, or my neighbor should change, my dog should change, my child should change, my grandmother should change, it's all my parents' fault, it's all my sister's fault, and so forth. Let's stop right here. You are responsible, you, whoever listens here, every single you of you is responsible for themselves. When I stop getting involved in your need to be right, then I evolved greatly. And sooner or later, when you run into the empty, then you will be facing a shadow fight. Show me one human who ever won a shadow fight. Meaning, let's say you're walking the street and then you see your shadow because it's nighttime and there's maybe a street light or there's the full moon illuminating the darkness. And then you see your shadow. Try to fight that shadow. You can't. You know how someone or something can? Or you can? Switch on the light. Be lighter on yourself, not only from enlightenment, but take it a little lighter, referring to weight.
Yeah, that's good advice. And I think I want to end on something that you told us last week, which was responsibility equals our ability to respond.
Yeah.
And I think that's very pertinent here as a final thought, because it is all our own responsibility to learn that skill and be able to use it in our interactions.
I never said it's easy, but I always say it's worth it. And I rarely generalize.
Well, what do you think, guys? Do you struggle with the need to be right? Is someone in your close circle struggle with the need to be right? And how have you handled it? And has this episode helped you? We would love to hear from you. You can contact us on our webpage, baldandblonde.live. And while you're there, please buy us a cup of coffee. There's a support us button at the top of the page. Every dollar that you help us with keeps us ad-free. And why would we want pesky ads cramping our conversation? That's it from us this week. We'll talk to you again next week with another amazing episode. We are Bold and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time. Thank you for listening in to the Bold and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our podcast with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place. For you, for us, for future generations. Visit us at baldandblonde.live to get freebies, give feedback, and even support us with as little as $1. Talk to you soon.